Heute Tore Meister Yud Zayin Menachem Av Tovshin Ein Hey Reb Eli Pick.
Reshus Kol Hakol Hakodesh Hazeh. We're now in the Shiva de Nechemta, so I thought a few afterthoughts of Tisha B'Av, which are relevant to these 7 weeks of comfort which we're getting from the Haftorahs, which we're reading between now. Yesterday we had Nachamu Nachamu Ami, and we're going to lead up to Parshas Nitzavim, the various Shiva de Nechemta. An interesting observation of the Haftorahs which we're reading has that quite a number of double expressions. We had yesterday, Nachamu Nachamu Ami. We're going to have, Anochi Anochi Hu Menachem Chem, Yisori Yisori, Uri Uri, Sos Osis, Solu Solu. These are double expressions. Double expressions imply an emphasis, some sort of stress on something. So we want to give an emphasis to the comfort, but also to the fact that the Geula is something which we are yearning for and we're waiting for with great anticipation. And in this respect, we all know, of course, the words Ani Mamin Be'emuno Shelemo, B'Vias HaMashiach. Songs are made of it, deafening bands are singing it, but do we really understand what it is saying? Obviously, if I say Ani Mamin B'Vias HaMashiach, I believe in Mashiach coming, like I believe a bus will come to the bus stop today. V'afal pi shi'es mamea im kozeh achakele b'chol yom she'ovo. What is this afal pi, even though? We've got other animamins where we don't get this even though, like an exclusion clause. We don't say animamin in the Baris Barach Shema Hashem created everything. We don't say, and even though there are of Davod Zorah, churches and mosques, we believe in Yiddishkeit and Hashem, He is the only one. We don't have this even though, but this is the only one of the 13 Ikrei Amunah where we say afal pi. Is this some sort of exclusion clause? What does it mean for afal pi? Then there's another question. We learn from Gemara Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, Rava Omar B'Shor Shemachnisin Odom Ledin. When a person goes up after his life and he reaches din, he's asked a number of questions. Not many questions, just a handful of questions. And the first question he's asked is, Nososa v'nosata b'emuna. Did you deal honestly in business? That's the top priority there. The second question is, Kavato itim the Torah. Did you fix times for learning Torah? The third question a person is asked is, Osakta b'pira v'rivya. Did you have children, or did you at least try to get married and have children? But osakto isn't kiyamto, it's osakto can mean also, did you help others? Did you help the orphans to get married, to go under the chuppah, in order that they can be osek b'piri v'rivya? And the fourth question is, tzipisa l'Yeshua. Did you await the geula? All right, we can understand when it comes to such things as honestly in business, and learning Torah, Kavato Isim the Torah, and of course, Piriviriviya, these are everyday matters which are taking up all our routine the whole time. But Tzipisa l'Yeshua, yeah, okay, Ani Mamin B'Vias HaMashiach, but what about Shabbos? What about Kashrus? Taras HaMishpocha, you know, Shatnas, Lashon Hara, all these important mitzvahs, but they take a sidestep when it comes to Tzipisa l'Yeshua, which is one of the first four questions. Well, obviously I'm waiting for the Mashiach. Surely it's reflected in my davening every day. After all, don't we say, the whole tefillah is embodied with this so much. Well, maybe go and live Nei V'Neihem, L'man Shemo B'Avo. The Shemona Esra is full of it. Tekabba Shofa Godo L'chei Roseinu, Hoshiva Shofteinu, V'ni Yushalayim Erecho Barachamim Toshuv. I mean, you can't get more emphasis than that we're constantly striving for the Geula. So is it something which we might be so weak about when we're saying, Tzipisa l'Yeshua? And then after I say Shalom, your son should be on a base Hamikdash. All the way through in Oleinu, Leros Meir, Bisfer Suzecha, and in the Kaddish, Bagod of Isman Koriv, and of course in the Aftorah, La Luvas Nevesh Toshia, Bimher Vyomeinu, and the Birchas HaMozum, we got Rachem of Neyushalayim, Kedusha on Shabbos, Mosaitim Lech Betzion. On constantly, all this reference to the Gula. On Yom Tov, Avienu, Litzion, Berino, Tisha B'Av, of course, Nachem Hashem Elokeinu. So all the time we are constantly focusing on the Gula. And yet there seems to be an implied criticism from Rava in the Gemara in Shabbos that maybe we are not doing enough to be Tzipisa Lishua. Indeed, the Shari Tshuva writes in Arachaim Kufyot Chesiv Aluf, he says, when you say Shlishuos Chok Hivinu, you should have in mind, you should have the Kavona Yichavei Lamash Shalim Acham Isosa Tzipisa Lishua. You should have in mind that you are fulfilling that obligation. So that you are one of those people who are makavim for the Geula. But is that good enough? Is it enough to just be saying it the whole time in one's davening? And in Nusach Sfad, of course, we have the words, Metzapim Yeshua. Is that what it means when we simply say, Ani Ma'amin B'Vias HaMashiach? I believe that it will happen. I remember in yeshiva days, there were some Americans who asked the Rosh Yeshiva, they said to him, why do we have to keep 2 days Yom Tov? We believe Mashiach is coming tomorrow. So why do we have to keep 2 days, even though we got tickets to go back to New York? We'll be staying on here. So my Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Meir Shlesinger Shlita, said, you don't believe Mashiach is coming tomorrow, but you have to believe he is able to come tomorrow. And you were yearning for him to come tomorrow. But that doesn't mean he will come tomorrow. We have to do our bit first. So you have to keep your 2 days Yom Tov. Okay. But the Smak says at the beginning of his work, he says the belief in the coming of the Mashiach and the Gula is part of the mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecho. That is ingrained in our emunah so much. Then we talk about the Achdus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Torah, that all encompassing in that is part and parcel the idea of the Mashiach coming. So surely, in all these ideas, in our tefillah, is there going to be any doubt that we are not sure about the coming of the Mashiach? Alright, so we can say that with these questions, these four questions which are asked to a person when he comes to din, they're daily routine. Business is a daily routine, learning Torah is a daily routine, raising a family, and so tzipis and Yeshua every single day. Achakele b'chol yom sheyovo. I'm waiting for him every single day. And that is why it comes within that list. But we can look at it into a bit further detail. What does it mean, Achakele b'chol yom sheyovo? Because it's implying that the tefillahs that we do are not enough. It's that we are yearning for him every minute of the day, that when we get up in the morning and we brush our teeth, we think maybe Mashiach will come today. And you get to lunchtime, look, he hasn't come yet. And you come supper time and you go to bed, no, what a pity, he hasn't come today, but maybe he'll come tomorrow. That is what it really means to be yearning for him. B'chol yom achakele b'chol yom sheyovo. That there is another dimension to Ani Ma'amin B'Vias HaMashiach. There are two parts to it. One is, I believe he will come, just like I believe the train will arrive. But that I'm yearning for him enthusiastically, I'm craving for him. You know, I know for a fact that my tax return is going to arrive in the post. I have emuna that it'll arrive. But I'm not craving for it, honestly. I'm not yearning for it. But if there's no chocolate in the house, and I know that some will arrive, but I'm craving for it, that might be a different feeling altogether. Quite a contrast between the tax return and the chocolate. So that is the idea of yearning for Mashiach. And some people feel that, well, you know, I don't really find much written about Mashiach. They neglect the Divrei Nevi'im, it's full of it. But in the Torah itself, the Rambam goes great pains to point out. He says, in Hilchos Melachim, Perek Yud Aleph, how the importance of the idea of believing in the coming of the Mashiach, and he remarks on Pesukim which are from the Torah itself. Indeed, we got Lo Yasum Shevet Mehuda, Mechokim Mibein Raglov, Ad Ki Yovei Shiloh, the Brachos of Yaakov Avinu. He wanted to reveal, he wanted to Megale Sakeitz. And the Unkele says there, I Daisi Mashicho. And the same is in the Targum Yonason. We know from the Nevuos of Bilam, Bilam Horosho, Erenu Velo Ato Asherenu, and the Targum Onkelos writes, V'Yisrabo Mashiach of Yisrael. He is talking about the Mashiach of Klal Yisrael coming. And of course, Moshe Rabbeinu himself says, V'Shov Hashem Elokecho, Eshuuscho V'Yirachamecho, V'Shov V'Kibetzcho Mikol Amim. You'll be gathered amongst all the nations to come back to Eretz Yisrael. And this is alluding to the days of the Mashiach. And the Rambam remarks that in the din of Ori Miklot, where it says, V'yosafta lecha sholosh orim al ha-sholosh eileh, that is talking about six Ori Miklot, but there have never been so far six Ori Miklot. So when you add the three to another three, then it's inevitably talking about the future, which will happen hopefully speedily in our days. And that is an indication from Parshas Shoftim and Sefer Devarim of Mashiach coming. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Melachim there, he says, Kol mi she'eino ma'amin b'zeh, o mi she'eino mechakeh lebi'oso. So it's not simply somebody who has to believe in the coming of the Mashiach, but he's got to be mechakeh lebi'oso. He's got to be actually sitting and waiting, hoping for it. And if he doesn't do that, he's called a kofer, which is an amazing thing. That means to say, it's not enough that I believe the Mashiach will come, but I'm a kofer if I'm not actively, enthusiastically waiting for his coming. Otherwise, I'm a kofer. You might say it's a chiddush from the Rambam, but this is the halacha brought down in a number of places, that anyone who doesn't believe in this manner is called a min or nabi koros. It's part of his 13 ikrim. Story told about Rav Moshe Eisen, who 30-odd years ago, I think he was niftan in about 1988, and he used to help a lot of people in checking their Abba Minim. People came to him with an esrog. A young man once came to him with a beautiful esrog. He spent a lot of money on it, but he wanted his heksha. And he looked at it, he said, a very nice esrog, beautiful. But he said that it's chosek kol shehu, there's something a bit missing from it. And therefore, it's not okay. So this younger man, who might have been a bit of an oibachuchim, said, yes, Rebbe, but this year, Sukkot's first day falls on Shabbos, so I'm really only doing the Din D'Rabbon on this year. And since I'm only doing the Din D'Rabbon on, and if it's chosek kol shehu, it's okay Midin Drabonon, if not Daraisa, and I'm not doing a Daraisa this year, therefore, what's the matter with this Esrog? He said, I think you're a shtickel abikairus. What? What a shock this fellow had. I'm sorry, I think you're a shtickel abikairus, because between now and Sukkot, if Mashiach comes, we have a Beis Hamikdosh, you'll be using this Esrog in the Beis Hamikdosh the whole week as a Din Daraisa, and it'll be possible. And therefore, he accused him of being a kofer. Quite remarkable. There's an interesting halacha when we sit at the table and some wine is brought in and you've already had wine to drink and a better wine is being brought to the table, so we say the brocha tova meitiv. Well, it sounds very nice, you're happy to get some extra good wine and therefore you make the brocha, fine. But why are we really making this brocha? Hatova meitiv, so Rav Yonasan Eibschitz writes in his Yaros Tavash, he says the reason why we say hatova meitiv on this second wine is because we're really remembering Yerushalayim. Because the Hatova Meitiv comes from Hatov Shalai Srichu V'Ameitiv Shenosnu L'Kvura, on the tragedy which happened in Beitar. And the tragedy there was that they felt that they can do without Yerushalayim. And they made a grave mistake. And L'Ore Avon Beitar is to make this brocha, is to remind us of the sin of Beitar, and that we should be remembering Yerushalayim when we're enjoying this wine. So nobody should just think that we're satisfying our appetites when we're having the extra wines. We say the brocha. It's to remember the geula even at that such moment. There's an interesting shaila tshuva from the Minchas Elozar, Rav Shapira from Munkach, who is asked the question in Chelek Hay of his teshuvas. They wanted to institute a fast day to commemorate the tragedies which had befallen Klal Yisrael. This was even before the Second World War, but there had been many pogroms, and there had been the First World War, and they wanted to introduce a fast. And he gives the psak that this is not the right way forward to do. He says, listen, I'm not getting involved in politics here. He said, I'm not involved with the Zionist party, and I'm not even involved with the Agudah party. He said, but this is something which is being promoted by those, and they're not even keeping Shabbos properly. For goodness sake, let's keep Shabbos, let's keep Kashrus. And just to put a tick on a calendar about commemorating a date, that is not going to bring the Mashiach. When we have a Tarnis, Tzibur, the whole idea of it is that it brings the Mashiach. Because by going through this Tsar, we are increasing our enthusiasm for Mashiach to come, and that will bring the Mashiach. So there's an interesting question which is brought by the Chasam Sofer on last week's Pasha and on Tisha B'Av. Last week we had Tisha B'Av Nidcha. So on the Sunday we were fasting on the 10th of Av. On the 9th of Av we were celebrating Shabbos. So he was asked the question, why is it that we don't say Tachanun on Tisha B'Av Nidcha? The reason why we don't say Tachanun on Tisha B'Av is because it's Moed. It's going to become a Yom Tov. So we don't say Tachanun. But on the 10th of Av? The 10th of Av is not Moed? Surely. Because Moed is not Nidcha. The Tarnis is Nidcha to the Sunday. Because Shabbos won't accommodate a Tarnis, except on Yom Kippur. But Moed is not Nidcha, so the Moed is still on the Shabbos. Therefore, on the Sunday when Tisha B'Av is Nidcha, surely we should be saying Tachanun, because Moed is not Nidcha. And he gives an amazing chiddush. He says, the whole Moed of Tisha B'Av, the whole Chag which we're going to celebrate in the future, is going to come about because of the fasting, because of the Tanis Tibur. It's the Tanis which provokes Mashiach to come. And that is why we're celebrating on that day, and in the future we'll be celebrating when Tisha B'Av is on Shabbos, we'll be celebrating on the Shabbos and on the Sunday, from the Zechus of the fasting which we did on the Sunday. And it's our effort, it's our fasting. You know, when we make the brachas in the Shemayin Esra, we put a lot of the onus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's shoulders. We say, Yislach lo novinu ki chatzonu ki melech mocha v'salach elo oto. You are the one who forgives us. It's down to you, HaKadosh Baruch. Or we say, in Rafainu, we say, ki kel melech rofei nemon rachamon oto. It's you. But when we get to Esksemach, we say, Kilishuoscho kivinu kol hayom, it's kivinu, it's on us. We're not pointing the finger at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, come on, will you please sort this out. It's our duty, and it's as a means of our actions, such as the Tanis and doing the mitzvahs, that we can say kivinu kol hayom. And it doesn't say kivinu kol yom, every day. Kol hayom means all the day, all day long, every day. So that's 24/7. So says the Brisker Rav. So that goes back to our original question. Why did we say the Af Al Pi? Because it's not an exclusion clause. It's an addition part of the Emunah. Because the Emunah is not just I believe he will come, but through my enthusiasm and my waiting and my actions, I will believe he will come. In fact, Chofetz Chaim wrote a kuntras called Tzipisa Lishua, very small, just three chapters. And he says how one should be engaged in welcoming and anticipating the coming of the Mashiach. It's not just saying it will happen. And he says the best way of doing so is to learn the halachas of Kodshim, so that day you'll know you'll be ready. You're anticipating it more by learning these halachas. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tanis, in Perek Yotes, Halacha Yotes, that in the future every Tanis will be cancelled, except of course Yom Kippurim for Slicha and Mechila, but all the other Tanis will be done away with, and they'll become Yomim Tovim. So you can ask the question, alright, we can understand that the Tanis of the future will be done away with, but why is it that they should become a Yom Tov? You know, okay, we're anticipating Mashiach, and Mashiach will come, but what is the whole thing about the Yom Tov? So the Brisker Rav says it's because this whole idea of doing the Tarnis is activating the Mashiach to come. And since that brings the Geula, that is the Simcha and that is the Yom Tov, and that fits in well with what we said from the Chasam Sofer. There is in fact another Chazal which says, Osidin Nibotel Kol HaMoedos, that in future the Yom Tovim will be done away with. Chutz Mipurim V'Yom HaKippurim. But the Torah says you have to keep these Yom Tovim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. What does it mean, Osidim Nibosil Kol HaMoedos? So there's something written on this in the Sefer, Otsa Vikuchim, from Rabbi Yisrael Lopez, who's in a dispute, a Vikuach, with a Christian who claims, you know, your rabbis say they're doing away with things, so we do away with things. He says, no, there's no way the Omim Tovim will ever be done away with. What's the Peshat? Osidim kolab moedos libotel? It means that in the future, in the Yemei Mashiach, the Omim Tovim will acquire new meanings. Because at the moment we're saying Zeched Litzias Mitzrayim. We are commemorating coming out of Egypt. But in the future, we're going to commemorate even greater Nisim than Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because at the time of the Mashiach, the Nisim which Hashem will be doing are so great that we'll be celebrating those Nisim. So instead of saying Zeicher Yetzias Mitzrayim, we'll be saying Zeicher Liyomos HaMashiach, or the Bias HaMashiach. And that will be such a great Yom Tov, so there's no way you could say that Yom Tov will be done away with. They will carry on, but with new meanings and with new dimensions. Rav Yosef Behalevi Soloveitchik, the Briskerov, he came to retirement age. He said, I think I've done enough for now, and I don't think I'll carry on in Rabbonus anymore. And yet he was approached by Brisk to become their Rav. And he turned it down. So another delegation came to him and said, come on, we need you. And one fellow said to him, there are 30,000 Yidden in Brisk who are anxiously awaiting for you to become their Rav. Please, please become our Rav. And when he heard this, he thought, I can't say no. If 30,000 people are anxiously want me to be their Rav, then I just have to be their Rav. And that's how he became known as the Brisker Rav. When the Chofetz Chaim heard this, he cried. The Chofetz Chaim said there's something very sad about this story. If 30,000 people can persuade him to become the Rav, then surely the Mashiach himself will be no less sensitive than the Brisker Rav. And if he knows that 30,000 people are anxiously awaiting for his arrival, then surely he will have Rachmanus on us and he will come. What the Chofetz Chaim was saying was very deep, because if you've got 12 million Yidden or 13 million Yidden around the world, yeah, and they might all be saying, I believe in the Bias HaMashiach, but are they really doing the Afal Pishis Mamea Im Kolze Achakelo? Are they doing that? Are there 30,000 people who are having the right Kavono, anxiously awaiting for the Mashiach to come? Surely, if we got that number, then Mashiach will come, because he will have just as much sensitivity as the Brisker Rav. In fact, Mashiach wants to come more than we want him to come. You know, he's actually got a job to do, and he's waiting for Klal Yisrael to fulfill the criteria, as it were. And he wants to come. Abdul Elaf Abdullah, think of Prince Charles. He's anxiously awaiting to become the King of England, of Great Britain. You know, he's already reached retirement age, and he's still nowhere near there yet. He wants to become the king. How many people of us are yearning for him to become the king? Are we really anxiously awaiting for Prince Charles? I don't think any of us could care less. But he wants it more than we do. The Mashiach wants to become the Mashiach and arrive much more than we do. But it's no good just having slogans and loud band songs just to say we want the Mashiach now. That's not enough. There is a certain way which Chazal is telling us which will bring the Mashiach along. And that is not the way. Now there are different Ma'amari Chazal which talk about the coming of Mashiach. And they seem to contradict each other. Because Mashiach is due to come, for example, on Motzei Shavuos. Look, we're coming now to the end of the Shemitah year, so Mashiach is due to arrive. So the Gemara Megillah in Yud Gimel says, why is it that Goel Yisrael is the seventh bracha? Because it's referring to Mashiach, and Mashiach will come Motzei Shavuos. Why? Because there's a lot of Mesiras Nefesh with Shemitah year to keep it, and also with Shemitah Kesofin to give up the debts which are owed to us. So Hashem is giving us mercy if we show others mercy, if we let poor people off what they owe to us. Prusbul is another subject, but if we have that Rachmanus on the poor, so Hashem will have Rachmanus on us. And even if we're doing no teshuva properly before Yom Kippur, with the end of the Shemitah, it's written that Hashem will still forgive us because we had Rachmanus on the poor. So Mashiach will come on Motzei Shavuos. But then there's another Chazal which says Mashiach will come in Chodesh Nisan. That's the time of Geula. There's another Chazal which says either will be kulo zakai or kulo chayav. We keep two consecutive Shabbosos, then he will come. And we all know about the posuk hayom in bekolo sishmo. Mashiach will come today if we listen to what he's telling us, Hashem is telling us to do. But he doesn't come, it's because we haven't done our part. So you've got all these different Mamari Chazal, and there's another one which says that Eliyahu HaNavi will come before Mashiach. He'll come at least 3 days before to announce his arrival. So somebody asked the Beis HaLevi, look, Mashiach hasn't come yet, Eliyahu HaNavi hasn't come yet. Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come first. If he's going to come first and he hasn't come, then how can I believe that Mashiach will come today or tomorrow? Because Eliyahu HaNavi hasn't come yet to ask his arrival. Answer the Beis HaLevi, Mashiach will answer that question as well. So what is it about all these different Mamari Chazal, he'll come then? I asked this just last week to Rav Yitzchak Meir Herzschlitter in London, and he said what Chazal are trying to say is that those are the times when he's more likely to come. But he can come any time. If we're saying B'chol Yom Sheyovo, and he could come any day or any part of the day, then there's no contradiction between that and these Mamari Chazal. It's simply that he's more likely to come at those times because of the Zechusim that we may acquire. And so it's told about Rav Shach, when he gave his hesped for the Ponovitcherov. The Ponovitcherov made sure there was a chair on each side of the Aron HaKodesh in Ponovitch Yeshiva, one for Eliyahu HaNavi and one for the Mashiach. And Rav Shimon Schwab spoke about how we anticipate the coming of the Mashiach. Imagine as though you're coming to a wedding and the color hasn't arrived yet. So you're anxious, you're really anticipating, let's hope that the color arrived, maybe the car broke down on the way or something like that, what can we do? And that anxiety is the sort of anxiety we should have. Just like an orphan who sadly misses their parents, they're waiting for Tchias HaMesim so that they can see their parents again in the same way we are mechakeh for the Mashiach. We all know the story about Rabbi Akiva. He saw the fox coming out from Har Abayis. Other Rabbanim was sad. He was laughing because he was saying, just like the first half of the Nevuah will be coming true, so in the future the second half of Nevuah will be coming true. And the Talmidim of Rav Chaim Volozhin asked him, what will it be like when Mashiach comes? What will actually happen? And Rav Chaim Volozhin gave a story. He said, imagine I'm sitting in my house one morning, and I'm preparing for a shiur to give in the yeshiva later that day. And my wife says to me, look, I'm going shopping down in the market. Could you keep an eye on the cooking? I left something on the cooker. Make sure it doesn't get burnt. Turn it off before that happens. He said, yeah, no problem. He says, and I'm sitting and I'm learning. And then suddenly I feel an amazing atmosphere in the air. There's an amazing ray of light outside. The sun is shining and I hear birds singing. A strange atmosphere. And then I hear people shouting. I hear a commotion. So I get up from my desk and I go to the door and I look out. And I see Reb Yankelo running towards me. Rebbe, Rebbe, haven't you heard? What's going on? What's going on? He says, Mashiach has arrived. He's here. Mashiach is here. Wow, this is amazing. Fantastic. What does he do? He goes straight to his wardrobe to take out his Shabbos suit, or his rekel, and he takes it out, and he sees that a button is missing. Ay gewalt. When Shabbos went out, I asked my wife if she could sew on this button, and she said, it can wait till Friday, there's still time, I've got the whole week to do it, and now I want to go out and greet the Mashiach, and there is no button on my suit. What am I going to do? He says, this is what's going to happen when Mashiach comes. We won't be ready. And as he's standing there pondering with his suit, his wife comes back shouting, what's the matter? Why didn't you turn off the cooker? The food is burning. We're not going to have anything to eat for lunch. And he says, Mashiach is here. She says, never mind Mashiach. What are we going to eat for lunch? This is what's going to happen when Mashiach comes. Chavetz Chaim kept a case by his front door, ready packed, so that he can come along to greet the Mashiach. And in our previous generations, our grandparents found it much easier to keep this mitzvah of yearning for Mashiach because they went through so much sorrow. My own mother, Zichrono Livracha, saw her shul burning down in Frankfurt in November 1938. And the whole feeling then was, when is Mashiach coming already? But we, living in a Malchus Shel Chesed, and Baruch Hashem, we've got the kosher shops, and we've got lots of yeshivas, and kodolim, there tends to be a sense of apathy which might creep in. where we don't have that same yearning that our parents and our grandparents' generation had. And the Shlomo writes in his Perush at the end of Gemara Sukkah, he says, Osim diras keva ba'olam hazeh. When we talk about Sukkah and the diras arai and diras keva, he says, many people are making the mistake nowadays. They're building their homes like palaces, like a diras keva. And chas v'sholom behesach hadas min ha-ge'ula. He says it's taking people's minds away from the ge'ula. And there's a Gemara, famous Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Ayin Gimel, Rabbi Baba Chano, talking a long number of Mesholim, and there's one Gemara where he talks about we were sailing along on a ship. Omar Rabbi Baba Chano zimno chado havi ozlinon besfinto v'chazinon hai kivro, and we saw this huge fish which we thought was dry land. On this fish there was sand and grass growing. We thought it was dry land because it was such a big fish. We thought it was a little island. It had the grass and sand growing on it. So we decided we're going to get off the ship and we're going to have a picnic. And we get off and we go on the ship and we start cooking with our camping stove. And the heat from the cooking started to bother the fish. And it started to turn. And if we wouldn't have had our ship nearby, we would have drowned. That's the Gemara. Very strange Gemara. Says the Maharsha, this is talking about people getting too comfortable in their golus. Because when we're sailing on in the ship, we're in golus. And we get off on this island and we're cooking on it. We make ourselves at home. But then it turns against us. And we need to have that boat nearby in order to save ourselves, in order to reach the Geula. Says the Maharsha, don't get too comfortable. But there's another pshat on this Gemara, which is absolutely fascinating. And that is from the Sefer Emes LeYaakov of Menasivus, Rabbi Yaakov of Lisson. His Sefer Emes LeYaakov is just on the Agadah Torah of Shas. And there he writes something which is mind-boggling. Considering he wrote this, must be at least 200, 250 years ago. He says, what does this mean when we're going along on the ship? It's talking about the Yidden settling in Eretz Yisrael before Mashiach comes. And the peoples of the world are turning against us. So we're going into Eretz Yisrael and we're cooking and we're baking and we're creating a heat which is provoking the other nations and they turn against us. If we wouldn't have had our ship nearby, we would have drowned. He says, because this event is happening close to the Geula. They are then turning against Klal Yisrael. What does it mean if our ship hadn't been nearby, we would have drowned? It means if the Geula wouldn't have been nearby, we would have drowned. And what is going on nowadays? We've got Yidden, Baruch Hashem, living in Eretz Yisrael, and the peoples of the world saying it's our land. It's flying in the face of what's written in the Holy Bible, which they acknowledge as a textbook. And that even the President of the United States of America is now in cahoots with Iran to enable a nuclear bomb. This is the peoples of the world are going against us. We don't have any allies at all, except there's the one and only HaKadosh Baruch Hu who can save us. And this is predicted by the Nesivos. And the Nesivos isn't the only one. The Maharal writes in Gevuras Hashem, in Simen Yud Ches, about Moshe Rabbeinu being brought up in the palace of Paro. He says this is a crucial part of the Geula from Yitzias Mitzrayim, that the enemy of the Yidden is looking after Moshe Rabbeinu. That's part of Hashem's divine plan. And in the same way in the future, the Mashiach will be brought up in a hostile country. He talks about fruit before it ripens abides in its shell. When the nut inside gets ripe, the shell falls away. So he says before the Mashiach comes, there will be Yidden settling in Eretz Yisrael. And they will be governed by a Malchus She'ein Bo Kedusha. He says it will be run by a secular government. But inside that country, there will be a kernel. There will be this nut which is ripening and ripening, and that will lead to the Malchus HaMashiach. Amazing Maharal, 400 years ago. How could he darshan this? Amazing. And there's a similar Malbim in Yeshayot of Samach, in Simon Samach Vov, the Haftorah we say on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. Mishal Makrazos, Miodaka Eile, where the Posset talks about the pregnancy happening after the childbirth. And the Malbim says, because this is talking about the Yidden settling in Klal Yisrael before the Mashiach has come. But all this leads to the Geulah. Coming to Manchester, I recall a very special person who is no longer with us, and that was Rabbi Yonah Balkin, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And he told me a very beautiful pshat on the Haggadah when we say, B'chol davadar omdim aleinu l'chaloseinu. They're all out to fight against us, in every single generation. V'akodesh Baruch Hu matzileinu miyodom. But Hashem saves us from their hands. So he says, what do you need this word miyodom for? HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu. Hashem saves us. Why do we have to say miyodom? He says that is the whole pshat in what is going to happen. Because when the enemies of Klal Yisrael go against us, Hashem ensures their downfall as a result of their own actions. Haman built the gallows for Mordechai, and he got hung on those gallows. Matzileinu miyodom. As a result of their hands, we are saved. That is the irony of it, that when they go against us, and so also in the future, when it comes to Bias HaMashiach, as a result of our enemies' own actions, Matzileinu miyodom, we will be saved. And let us hope that it won't be a long time to come, and we should soon be singing, like we do in this week's Haftarah, Soson v'simcha yimotze bo toda v'kol zimra. Amen.